Good morning. Happy Sabbath to you. As Gordon mentioned, yes, I represent this morning a sure harvest. And by the way, Gordon nailed my last name from the first time. For those of you who have a hard time to pronounce that name, I also go by Johnson. As we share the gospel with Muslims, we are receiving hundreds of calls that says to us, Muslim community is ready for the gospel. How many of you know the population of Muslims around the world? Yeah, but numbers, percentage. Close, 1.6 billion. That's about 23% of global population of this planet are Muslims. Do you know what is the percentage of them that being exposed to the three angels' message? Zero point one of 1% being exposed to three angels' message. We have a work to do, don't we? A missionary to Muslim world 50 years ago made a statement that it is a lonely ministry to take gospel to Muslims. 50 years later, we can say the same thing. Nothing changed. It is a lonely ministry. And when we have received a call from CBN, I was about 6 years ago. They asked us if we can produce programs on Farsi, in Farsi, so they can broadcast to Iran. We began the production, submitted programs to them, and they mentioned to us it usually takes 3 to 6 months for show to be noticed and Muslims to begin to respond, the viewers. Did you know when we began to get responses? Any guess? The moment that first show hit the air, the calls began to come. And the first caller was a young woman crying on the phone saying to us, I have prepared the instruments of suicide. I was ready to take my life. My TV was on. Your program came up. I watched your program. I am changing my mind. The title of the show was God Has a Plan for Your Life. That first caller inspired us, and we were convicted that God has thousands and thousands of those people who are hungry for the fullness of the gospel. And as we continued the production and broadcasting for 3.5 years, CBN broadcasted us for free. The only thing they requested, do not produce programs about the pork and the Sabbath. We still were left with 26 items to preach. And as we were broadcasting the programs, we were receiving so many calls. Number of underground churches has been formed in the Middle East, particularly in Iran, and hundreds of Muslims accepted Jesus as their Savior. And one of the viewers called us and mentioned that we watched your programs. I am an Iranian woman. Received Jesus as my Lord and Savior as a result of your programs. But here's what took place. When my husband saw my conviction that I accepted Jesus Christ, he began to beat me brutally every day. My two sons rejected me as a mother, called me a prostitute. Doctors took me to the hospital. They found tumor on my liver and they said it is cancer. Did I make a mistake by accepting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? There are no churches around. I have no Bible. There are no Christians around. What do I do? And as we just gone through a training, we found out certain things that if a person doesn't have the Bible, we still can lead her to Jesus. And for you to know, in the Quran, they have taken scriptures from the New Testament, scriptures that say about Jesus certain things, like Jesus is the Messiah, He is the Word of God, He is the Word of truth, He is the mercy from God, He is righteous and holy, He is a life giver, He was raised from the dead, He is coming again, He is to be followed and obeyed. We ask her to get the Quran, sit next to her husband, we gave her the scriptures and said, read this to your husband. We'll call you in a week. We didn't call in a week, we were too busy. 3 months later, we got a call from this woman again, and she was so excited to report to us that she had read these passages to her husband. And by the way, I'm not promoting Quran by what I said. The only book I promote and will promote is the Bible, the living Word of God. And she said to us, as I share this with my husband, since then, every time he leaves home, going to work, he is kneeling before me and kissing my hands. My two sons apologize before me in a large family gathering, and they love me. But this is not yet all. I've been taken back to the hospital. They operated me. They found no tumor in my liver. They saw me back. I am recovering. I want to serve Jesus. I have some funds. I will go to a neighboring country of Armenia, which is the next country to them, a Christian country. I was born in that country. I will buy a parcel of land, and I will build a church there for my people to come and to worship Jesus without fear of being persecuted. We were skeptical. But guess what? A few months later, we were receiving a call from the same woman. She is now in Armenia. And she said to us, I have 15 people with me. I bought a parcel of land. We are building a church. Please send to us all the materials that you have. And just a few months ago, we have received an update that in that part of the country of Armenia, there are over 30 baptisms into Seventh-day Adventist Church of Iranians. And I've been thinking to myself, wow, just one single viewer that responded and what a rippling effect it brought to the lives of people. And statistics shows that taken by TBN and CBN that when one person, a viewer, respond to your show, that means there were 1,000 people that were affected by the show, but they never bothered to respond. We will never know the effect of the ministry until we come to the other end of eternity. Today, CBN spends $1 million every month to produce and broadcast programs to Iran alone, because Iran harboring 500 million people, and in Iran living Muslims from all other countries. They are targeting this country to reach these people so they can spread the gospel from their own countries. We have 300 programs produced, the Advent message, sitting on a shelf and not enough funds to put them on the air. Today we have brought ministry envelopes. And at the end of the service, if the Lord is touching and impressing you to support this ministry, to take gospel to Muslims, if you want to be a part of it, you will be having an opportunity. And Muslims today, if the deacons can distribute the envelopes at this time, that would be much appreciated. Today, we are one Sabbath closer to the coming of the Lord. It is a joyful thought. But there is another side of the coin. We are one Sabbath closer today for millions to be lost. And again, we have 23% of globe population not evangelized yet. And today you have an opportunity to be a part of this. I will come to that at the end of the service. I have much more to share about the report of the ministry that we as Advent movement placed in such a privileged and unique position to share the gospel, to take gospel to Muslims like any other denomination. I would like to share more of this with you maybe at the other coming, and maybe even to present a teaching, a seminar here with a full day program educational program that will equip you and enable you to reach to these people whenever you come in contact with them. But as of now, I would like to move into the Word of God and to share that bread of life with you. How many of you hungry today? Just a couple of you, huh? Wow, you've been fed. I'd like to invite you to bow your heads with me as we open the Word of God. Gracious, loving Father, once again, in the quietness of mind and heart, we bow before you in great expectation that as you speak to us through your Word, we may walk out from the church today fed and not the same as we came, in Jesus' name. Amen. I was not told this morning how much time I have. Thank you. Thank you, sister. I was going to take advantage of this. Besides, just a few people said that they are hungry. So, you are fed. You can sit a little longer today. And for that, I may throw some stories. Would you like some stories? Okay. One of the mission trips to the country of Armenia with friend of mine, Pastor Bill Liversidge, as we finished the seminar, we were asked by a young man who just came out of jail, what happens to a person when he dies? As I was ready to answer that question, I felt a touch on my shoulder, and Pastor Bill answered that question. He said, we will come tomorrow at the same time. We will bring our Bibles, you will have your Bible, and we will see what the Word of God says. As we walked out from there, my friend told me, Grant, do not share any biblical truth with anybody without first opening the Word of God, because it will not be your word that will bring conviction, but the Word of God. We came back next day. We brought our Bibles. The person and his family had their own Bibles. As we visited the scriptures, unfolded to him from the scripture what takes place when person dies, that man was convicted and broken into tears. And as I came back from that mission trip, I revisited the book, The Acts of the Apostles. And I came across the statement on page 520. The Word of God, the truth, is the channel through which God manifests His Spirit and power. Wow. With that in mind, I'm asking you to open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9. This is the story of forgiveness, the story of healing and restoration. Some of you sitting here today may need forgiveness. Some of you may need healing. Some of you may need restoration. Whatever your need is, God is offering to you today through His Word. So when you hear His Word, do not harden your heart. Verse 1 of chapter 9, it says, Jesus got into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own city. As I look at the bigger picture here of the ministry of Jesus, I can see that Jesus not only came to his own city by crossing over, he crossed over and came to his own. You see, from the very beginning, between God the Father and God the Son, there is a river of love that flows from the Father to the Son and from the Son to the Father. God created a man and placed him into this river of love. Man became an object of God's love. But the enemy of God kidnapped that object of love by injecting sin into human race. We became slaves to sin. We became paralyzed by sin, and no longer we can produce righteousness and holiness. Jesus, seeing the condition of his own creation, the object of his love, came to our rescue. But for that, he had to take upon himself human flesh in order to be qualified to represent us. So, he laid aside his omnipotence, his divinity, his omnipresence, and he crossed over and came to his own. So we can truly say that Jesus crossed over and came to his own. For what? To restore his own. To save us from what? From sin. To save us from the penalty of sin, to save us from the power of sin, and to save us from the very presence of sin. This is the sanctuary message that is one of the very foundations of the Advent movement. I wish we would dig deeper into the sanctuary message. So, verse 2. And behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. Point number one. This is a big one. Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. Now, who is this paralytic? It is me. It is you. It is the entire human race. And in spite of our condition, Jesus not only calls us his own, he calls us sons and daughters. You see, sin had crippled and paralyzed human race. The paralytic was brought to the feet of Jesus, into the presence of Jesus. And in John chapter 6, Jesus said, the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. So they came to Jesus by faith. And every time someone comes to Jesus by faith, something happens. Let's take a look what took place back then. And if that can take place today in our lives. Still in verse 2. Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, Son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you. One of the big factors here is the faith of the friends that brought the paralytic into the presence of Jesus. Do you have friends or loved ones who you wish would come to Jesus? Maybe it is your son or daughter who is wandering from God for many years now. And you think they are not capable to bring themselves to God because sin had crippled and paralyzed them. They're no longer able to come by themselves to God. Don't you ever give up on them. No matter what sin has done to them, bring them on the hands of prayer, prayer of faith, bring them to the feet of Jesus. We are not to give up even on a hopeless one. You see, human impossibility, it is God's opportunity. Mark relate the same story in chapter 2. Mark chapter 2 and verse 2, 3, and 4. It says, immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door, and he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken through, they laid down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. You see, the paralytic was brought to the house where Jesus was, and there was no room, not even near the door. Often, there are those who seek Jesus, are the ones who prevent the lost to see Jesus. But praise God for the friends who have faith. The story did not end there at the door of the house where Jesus was. At the door through which they could not bring their friends into the presence of Jesus, a true faith always finds a way. A true faith will never give up. It will never be let down. A true faith always seeks for the benefits of others. A true faith will always break through. And indeed, they have broken through the roof. Just imagine yourself to be there. Jesus is in the town. The whole village seeking after him. And they flocking in that place. The houses filled with people. There's no room even near the door. And then as you are witnessing this in that room, you begin to hear a commotion on the ceiling, on the roof of the house. You looked up, there are cracks on the ceiling, pieces of clay falling down. There is a hole in the ceiling. You could see the sky and it gets bigger. You could see people walking there. And it got so big that the whole bed is let down through the hole in the roof. What would you think about these people? Huh? This is not even their house. They're crazy. They are crazy. They are so crazy that they were willing, they were determined to do anything. Even to be ridiculed, to pay the price in order to bring their friend into the presence of Jesus. I'm sure these kind of encounters are the most satisfying encounters of Jesus. Do you have that kind of friends? Are we that kind of friends? And as the bed was coming down through the roof, the paralytic does not see Jesus at first. The only thing that he is seeing are the hands of his friends that holding tightly to the rope that was attached to his bed. And he is seeing also their faces, shining with anticipation what is about to take place. And that is boosting up his faith. So, if your hands of prayer are not strong enough, get more hands. Where two or three gather together, I am in the midst of them. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. How is your faith today? Did you give up on those for whom you were praying? And because there is no result, you gave up on them. Forgetting the promise given us by God through Isaiah, I will contend with him who contends with you, and I will save your children. Looking at the paralytic, catching his pleading eyes, Jesus said to him, "Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you." Wow. Just like that. See, the paralytic did not have to become good before he was restored. He was brought to Jesus as he was, and he was restored. And same it is with us. We are realizing our need in Jesus. We are coming to him, or we are brought to him, and we are justified. That is declared righteous. And if we continue to come to him day by day, every single day of our lives, realizing our need in him, he will make us into what he declared us to be. And that is sanctification. Who is doing the work? Your work is come to him every day of your life. The work that he has begun in you, he is faithful to bring it to completion. Come to him. So today, Jesus is looking at each one of us. He can read your hearts. I cannot. He is looking at you with compassion. He He is filling your emotional pain, your physical, your relational pain, whatever pain is there in your life, that your choices, your sins have brought upon you, and He is saying to you with compassion, son, daughter, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. But according to Hebrews 9:22, there is no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. By saying to the paralytic, to you and to me, your sins are forgiven you, Jesus was looking to His cross, where on the cross my sins, my shame, my guilt, my judgment, my second death was laid on Christ. It was lifted up from me and placed on Him, and it killed Him. Why? Why would Jesus go through this? Well, I came up with two reasons why. One is, there's a sin problem. Many are still playing with sin, forgetting that sin has nailed Jesus to the cross. Let me give you a radical definition of sin. Sin is a blatant mutiny against God, and either sin or God must die in my life. If sin rules in me, the life of God in me will be killed. If God rules in me, sin in my life will be killed. The culmination of sin problem is the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And what was true in the history of God on this planet will be true in your history and mine. That is, sin will kill the life of God in us. The other reason I came up with is why Jesus had to go through such an agony of dying on the cross. Because God the Father and God the Son loves us so much that Jesus was willing to lose His own existence to save us from sin. Let me tell you about that love. I want to get attention of our young people. Whatever you do, my dear young ones, put aside, pay attention this next 5 minutes. Turn off your phones, whatever you do. You are about to sail into your life. The life will present you storms. It will shake you. It may shake you so hard you may be spilled out of the boat. You need an anchor. And I'm offering to you that anchor today, who is Jesus. You got to know Him. Unless you have Him in your journey, you will not come to your destination. Please pay attention. This is your anchor. In John 17:23, Jesus is praying to His Father, Father, that they may know that You love them as You love Me. I am bringing this home just by paraphrasing. Please pay attention. God the Father loves you not less than He loves Jesus Christ. Father, I either lost them or they're shocked. I'm going to say it again. God the Father loves you not less than He loves Jesus Christ. Me, a wretched man. Father loves not less than Jesus Christ. And then Jesus in John 15:9, He says, just as much as Father loves Me, I love you that much. So we have God the Father who loves us infinitely. We have God the Son who loves us infinitely. And then Jesus does something so radical. He goes to the cross and signs with His own blood what He just said, that every human being may believe every word that is coming out of the mouth of God. And as He is hanging on the cross, He is tempted 3 times. If You are the Son of God, come down from the cross and save Yourself. You know what? Jesus is the Son of God. He could come down and save Himself. But could He, by coming down from the cross and saving Himself, save us also at the same time? No. He had to make a choice. And what choice did He make? To stay on the cross. What does it say to you? As I was meditating on the sin of the cross, I have heard in my heart and my mind something I'd like to share with you. It broke my heart. I invite you, come to the cross with me. We are 2,000 years ago, present there at the crucifixion of Jesus. We are watching Christ nailed to the cross after he was beaten and bleeding with a crown of thorns, the symbol of curse upon his head. He is naked in shame. He cannot even breathe. And then he does something. He lifts himself on the nail hands to take his last breath. He opens his friendly eyes. He looks at you and he speaks his last words to you. If you would have been there, what would have been the last words of Jesus to you? Have you thought about it? I've heard those words in my heart. Here they are. Wherever you are, whatever color of skin you have, it doesn't matter. Whatever country you are coming from, it doesn't matter. Whatever you have done in the past, it doesn't matter to me. I love you more than I love myself. And he died. That's the message of the cross. That's who your God is. Are you coming to the church to worship God out of fear or to get a reward? Or you are coming to worship him who loves you more than he loves himself? That's the worship God wants from you, out of a loving heart. And I hope that's why you are here today. So, based on that, with a heart that is overflowing with love for you, Jesus is speaking to you today. Son, daughter, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. Did you embrace that forgiveness? Or you are still punishing yourself for the things that you have done in the past? If that is you, you are in a state of unbelief. And it's my obligation to tell you, repent. Maybe you cannot forgive somebody else. Maybe it is your friend. Maybe it is your neighbor. Maybe it is your church member. Maybe it is your son or daughter that you lost that relationship with them. Maybe it's not even your fault that brought this destruction, relationship, and wound. You know what is your duty? Our Christian duty is to go to them, to reconcile with them. They may not do it, this step. They may not never do this. But God is calling you today to glorify him by doing what is right, by acting biblically, and he will bring healing and restoration in relationship. You know what will happen? You will gain a friend, a church member. You will gain, actually, a family member. You know what will happen? Your life will be longer. I hope you know the fact that they discovered whenever you retain unforgiving spirit or anger in your heart, it creates inflammation within your cells and eventually will cause a cancer of one of your organs. Why do you need this? The other thing, what will happen to you, not only are you going to gain a friend and church member and family member, you will live longer. God will be glorified. In one of the churches, as I ask people, how many of them willing to reconcile with them with whom they are not right, 50% of the church members stood up. You know what it told me? Yes, amen, amen. Holy Spirit was working upon their hearts, but what it told me, up to that point, these people were depriving themselves from the fullness of the Holy Spirit in their lives. If you want to have the fullness of the Holy Spirit in your life, whether it is your fault or not, if there is a broken relationship with someone, before the sun sets down today, when you come home, pick up your phone, write a letter, send a text, whatever you do, go and visit that person face to face. Even if it's not your fault, reconcile with that person. You have no idea what a blessings and joy you will experience in your own heart. Guarantee you. So in what condition was the paralytic? When he had heard the words of Jesus, your sins are forgiven you. The condition of the paralytic is the condition of the entire human race, of which Apostle Paul said in Romans 5, while we were yet ungodly, helpless, sinners, enemies of God, God has reconciled us to himself through the death of his Son. Wow. I cannot resist but tell you another story. If we have a time, I better skip it. After one of the worship services in San Diego, pastor came up to me, and some of you may know him. He asked me, Grant, would you visit a couple of people with me? You have time. I said, my afternoon is free. My wife was with me, and as we went somewhere in the boonie in San Diego, inland, he was telling us the story. This is a young woman, 28 years old. She was born in Mexico. She came to this country when she was a child. Her father and mother divorced when she was 14 years of age. Then immediately her mother remarried another man who had a teenage son, older than her. And he began to abuse her. And all the blame fell on this girl. They kicked her out of the house. She ended up on the streets, using drugs, ending up in prostitution. And came to the point that she was stabbed in the back and thrown into a dumpster to die. They pulled her out. She survived. She was near to death. And she had no reason to live. And God brought this pastor into her life, and he was studying with her. But he said, I want you to share with her what you just said today. And as we went there, I just didn't know what to say. After hearing the story of this troubled woman, I had nothing to say. My wife, praise God for the second half that God has given to all of us. And you men here, take it from me. At least sometime, listen to your wife. And she said to me, Grant, Romans 5, all she needs. And I said, how could I miss that? And as we opened the Bible and led her to the chapter 5 of Romans, she plucked out these words and she was praising God. With tears in her eyes, she said, I was ready to give up on my life, but now as I came to know that there is God who loves me so much in spite of who I am ready to live. I don't know what this verse does to you, but that's what it has done to this outcast woman. That while you were sinners, ungodly, helpless, and enemy of God, God had reconciled you to himself through the death of his Son. That's who God is. Well, I better hurry up here. Verse 3. And at once some of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemes. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your hearts? Mark, in chapter 7, adds something to this picture. Chapter 2, verse 7 of the Gospel of Mark, it says, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Jesus knew their thoughts. Only God can know the thoughts of man. And this fact should have convicted them that the Son of Man is the Son of God. This fact should have convicted them that they are standing in the presence of their Maker. And by the way, Jesus knows our thoughts. And have you ever thought, what is it that Jesus calls here evil? One day, it just dawned on me, it's so simple. Thinking that God cannot forgive your sins is evil. That's what this says. Verse 5. For which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Then he said to the paralytic, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. Point number 2. Arise. Arise from being paralyzed by sin into a newness of life. Jesus speaks here not only to the paralytic, but to every human being who is affected by sin. And we are all in this category. Arise from being paralyzed by sin into a newness of life. And the Creator, Jesus Christ, who spoke the universe into existence, His word still has power today to recreate and to restore. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. How much of our time are we spending with this restoring, recreating Word of God? The truth, the channel through which God manifests His Spirit and power. If you want to come in touch and to experience that power and the Holy Spirit in your life, we are to spend time with the Word of God, and not only spending, but to acting upon His Word. It is the study of the Scripture that ennobles, awakens, develops the faculties of the human mind to its highest potential. My dear young people, I hope you've heard this. Here's another one for you. In every command and in every promise of the Word of God is the power, the very life of God, by which the command may be fulfilled and the promise realized. He who by faith receives the Word of God is receiving the very life and the character of God. Christ Object Lessons, page 38. Verse 7 and 8. And he arose and departed to his house. You see, he acted upon the Word of God. And he was restored. It is same with us. It is by acting upon the Word of God that we are restored from the damages of sin. Verse 8. Now when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God who had given such power to men. Point number 3. God is glorified who had given such power to man. Now, what did they see? They saw restored life. Restoration happened through the Word of God. The Word of God in itself has restoring power. In my own life, I've experienced restoring power of the Word of God. At age 22, I was drafted to serve in Russian army from the south part of Russia. They have taken me all the way to Siberia. And believe me, I haven't done anything wrong to get there. Spent there 2 years. The winter was so harsh and long, 8 months winter, 40 below zero by Celsius and lower, that if you would just go outside and take your hand out of gloves, your skin is cracking. After 2 years being there, I came back home, was very seriously ill because of the harsh climate. Spent 6 years in hospitals, and doctor gave up on me. I've been told that I have 1 year to live. I was an atheist. Somebody has given me the Word of God, the Bible. First time in my life, I hold that book in my hands. As I was reading the Word of God, I began to believe that there is a God. And as I was beginning to act upon the principles that I found in the Bible, my health began to be restored. Within 1 year, it was restored. 25 years ago, doctors gave me 1 year to live. It's only by the grace of God I'm here today. Every day of my life, when I get up, my attention to begin the day is to praise Him and to partake of this book. What about you? If you want the Spirit of the living God to be in your life, if you want to experience the power of God in your life, we are to partake of the Word of God and to act upon it. The healing will come. The restoration will come. The forgiveness always is there. So, they saw a restored life. What did they do? They glorified God who had given such power to men. Please notice the word "men" here is in plural form. What does it mean? Here's what it means. God, through Jesus Christ, through the Word of God that became flesh, gave authority to men have victory over sin. Just a couple of amens. The rest of you don't believe, huh? God, through Jesus Christ, through the Word of God that became flesh, gave power and authority to man to have victory over sin. And the victory comes when you choose to act upon the Word of God. God is taking responsibility for the consequences. Sin shall not have dominion over you. The Word of God, the truth, is the channel through which God manifests His Spirit and power. I hope you will remember this statement. So if you let the Word of God, Jesus Christ, to abide in you, you are letting in His victorious life to be exhibited in you. And maybe Revelation 3:20 will come to you now in a new way. I'm standing at the door and knock. Whoever will open, I will come in. The promise is there. But the word knock here is not a hesitant knock. It conveys in original knocking with a sense of urgency, because God knows that if He will not come in, sin will destroy us. But the good news of this verse is this. See, Jesus Christ already lived in human flesh. Divinity indwelled humanity, and He conquered sin in the flesh. And the reason why Jesus wants to come into your life and mine, He wants to repeat the same experience in our lives. Are we letting Him to come in? And if we do, is He coming as a resident or just as a visitor? That will make all the difference in our lives. So, Jesus came to His own. You are not alone in this struggle. He said, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Jesus came to forgive, to heal, and to restore His own. And you are His own and precious possession. Even when you were helpless, even when you were ungodly, sinner, enemies of God, God had reconciled you to Himself through the death of His Son. I don't know how to say it, shout it, or whisper it to you. You are loved. This is the fact that took place and was accomplished for us to believe on the cross of Jesus. And it doesn't matter whether you feel it or not. It has nothing to do with your feelings. God loves you more than He loves Himself. So, 3 points came out today. And I can leave it now without repeating them, or I can lay them on you and to call on you to respond to the Word of God. Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. Did you receive His forgiveness? Did you embrace it? Are you extending the forgiveness to others? I challenge you today. If there's anyone in your life that the relationship with that person is broken, family member, church member, co-workers, neighbor, whoever that person is, I challenge you. Give God the opportunity to heal it. Don't think about whether that person will respond or not. This is not your business. If you want the fullness of the Holy Spirit in your life, you are to make that step. Healing will take place. You will gain a friend, a family member, your son, your daughter, back. You will live longer. You will glorify God, who loves you more than He loves Himself. Anyone sitting here today that actually getting it and thinking, not only thinking, but deciding to do it today before the sun goes down, I want to pray for you. I know this is not an easy step. I went through this. You may be struggling, but let the Lord lead. Let Him do it. Be His instrument. If this is your desire, I want to pray for you. If anybody bold enough to make that step and to experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit in his life and to experience that healing, forgiveness, restoration, and the joy that comes with it, I invite you to stand where you are. This is not a general call. Only those who would like to experience that and making a commitment, I invite you to say, I want to pray for you. Is anybody here brave enough to experience that? Praise God. Thank you. And God will go ahead of you. His Holy Spirit is already working upon the hearts of those people that you are deciding to contact. You can be assured of that. He is always busy. He is always working. And one day you will have the joy. Maybe it will happen even today. Praise God. The second point was, please remain standing. I'm about to finish and pray for you. Is there any sin in our lives that keeping us paralyzed? If there is any, and you are making a decision today to arise, to respond to the word of God that He calls us, He who has spoken is giving also the power. Arise from being paralyzed by sin into a newness of life. If this is your desire, you may stand. I want to pray for you as well. And the third point was, God is glorified who had given such power to man. God already has given us the power. And the moment we act upon the word of God, that power is available to you. If you want to experience that power, you are making a commitment actually to act upon the word of God as you read it. If this is your decision, and you want to act upon the word of God and to experience that presence of Christ in you and His power, I invite you also to stand as we conclude. Praise God. And now for the rest of you, I invite you to stand to support these brave people who made a decision for our Lord and Savior who loves us more than He loves Himself. Gracious, loving Father, only You can read the hearts of people. Only You know the depths of the pain. I don't. None of us do. Father, we are standing in Your holy presence, realizing that You are the creator of the universe. You have created us, and You have power and ability to restore us. Not only us, but also our relationships with our loved ones, our friends, wherever they are. Lord, first of all, I want to thank You. for that precious blood of your Son Jesus that was shed on our behalf. That through that precious blood we are reconciled to you, Lord. We are justified. We are no longer condemned, Lord. We are loved. And based on that, Lord, we're making our decision. I want to lift up to you these precious people who are making a decision, Father, to act upon your principles. To be reconciled with those people in their lives that things are not going right. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit, as he already went ahead to work upon the hearts of those loved ones and friends, I pray that you will bring the joy and restoration to the lives of people, Lord. That the healing will take place. That your name will be glorified as a result. That your body as a result will be a stronger body, Father. Filled with the Holy Spirit. And the community here will be affected as a result. And those who are seeking you will be flocking to this place, Father. This is your home. This is your church. This is your body. And I pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon every individual that stood today. Even those who hesitated, Father, that in their hearts they still have the desire. Bless them. Give them courage, Father, and grace to do it. And Father, if there is any sin in our lives, pinpoint it. And as we see it, Father, give us grace and ability and courage to rise and to walk in the newness of life, confessing that Christ is the Son of God, claiming your promise, Father, to indwell in us. And when Jesus is in us, he will not be attracted to sin. You will give us victory through the indwelling of Christ. And Father, I pray also that you will give grace to each one of us as we partake of the bread of life, that we may act upon your word. That in turn, Lord, you will manifest your power in our lives. Father, I pray for this congregation, for the leaders, for the pastor. Pray for healing for everyone, whether it is physical or spiritual. I pray especially for elderly people who are losing their strength. May your grace sustain them, Father. May your right hand will be with them, Lord. Sustaining not only physically, but also in faith. Father, I pray for leaders of this church that you will fill them with your Holy Spirit. Empower them by your Spirit, Father. And make them, give them a triple portion of effectiveness here. Fill this church, Father, with those people who are seeking you. And Lord, I pray also for the young people. We are losing too many of them. May your Holy Spirit, Lord, day by day bring your grace to their hearts and realization that they are loved by the Creator of the universe so much that they will not be seeking things of this world because it is vanishes. They will not waste their years of youthfulness and strength for nothing, but find joy in serving you. Oh Lord, hear us. We need you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.